Are we recording or not?
We are now officially recording.
Okay, cool.
Okay, well, you come into my house, you get my wife's name right.
It took you 2 seconds.
Christina.
It's a classic film.
Welcome back, Tim.
And then, see, you've got the hedges out there. Now you can say, like, aim for the bushes.
Dear.
I needed to get that.
You really did.
It's good to be back.
I want you to do the intro, Tim.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, hit us. Hit us with your best.
Hello, Woodies. It's Tim here, coming at you for another episode of Sporting Woods season.
It's 9.
Episode
3.
Yeah.
That's great. Oh. So it sounds edited, but we just do it live.
Well, it's good to have you back, Timmy, in the studio for a special episode of Sporting Woods.
It's always good to be back in the booth.
Yeah. The booth. I like the sound of that. So for the astute amongst the crowd will know that we've missed a couple of episodes in between the tests. We do apologize. They were pretty back-to-back. I mean, there was a three-day turnaround. So not only were the Australian Quicks a bit tired, I think, after Melbourne, but so were we.
I mean, life happens. It's a busy time of the year.
So busy. No.
Yeah, what did they do that they weren't so busy? You know, get off our case.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totes.
Oh, are we insulting the listeners already?
Yeah, I was like,
oh, sorry.
What?
They know what they signed up for.
You didn't go away over Christmas, New Year's?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
It's a great start. Oh, dear. So we do have some cricket to talk about. Obviously, we do have cricket to talk about, but Timmy's giving me the up. First of all, we have our US correspondent, Mr. Timothy Stanton, to talk all things US of A.
Yes, thank you very much, Luke. Oh, I should have done a delay like I wanted to.
You can put it in post.
Hello, Luke. Yes, there's a bit of a time difference here. Thank you very much.
You are an idiot.
Now, before we get into business.
No worries, Tim. Great to have you here.
What's that? Yes. I got you again now, yes. All right. No, before we get into business, so just a few things that have caught my eye since I've last been here.
Yeah.
Everyone, stop what you're doing. Keep listening to the podcast, obviously. Stop what you're doing. Go to YouTube. Type in Zion Williamson. This guy is an absolute machine.
Zion with a Z.
With a Z.
Z-I-O-N?
Z-I-O-N.
That's easy to Zion. Type.
This guy is an absolute beast.
It's noise backwards. Noise.
I'm trying not
we're to trying to get
people.
We're trying to get rhythm and momentum here, and then you've just...
I'm so sorry.
I'm trying to hype up this guy.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure he's
potentially the next LeBron. And
oh, okay.
Like, oh, his name spelled backwards is noise.
I'm not wrong, though, am I? I mean, well, I am still technically wrong. Yes.
His name is Zion.
So yeah, what you would got I me find there. when I had that?
I'm trying
YouTube.
To like bring something into the show, just to like get it kicked off, so we can be like,
no, you're right.
Get people hyped. This guy, this cat is just amazing. He's had a social media following over 1 million people since he was like 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
He's an absolute machine. He's playing at Duke University at the moment. Anyone who's got Foxtel, ESPN are like got the biggest heart on for this guy. So every Duke game is pretty much live here in Australia. I strongly recommend you check out his highlights, anything like that, particularly his first game against Kentucky.
Mm. I did see this.
Yeah. Oh man. Seriously, it's like 4.5 minutes of just him in one game.
Just
it's unbelievable. So watch out for him in the NBA draft.
Would you it's early days for the young man, obviously. How old is he? 19, 18?
18.
Yeah, right. But so you said like the next LeBron, but would that, is that, is that, do you think this is closer to someone else or yeah. it is LeBron or?
Well, the hype, I don't think even with LeBron, there's been a hype around this guy coming out of high school. LeBron didn't go to college, so yeah. there's only a limited amount of what he can do. And social media, you know, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, really wasn't around when LeBron was going through high school. So I'm sure his highlight reel would be just as good.
Equal. But yeah.
I think a lot of people are just concerned about him moving to the next level just because he's such, like, you just look at him, he's a grown man.
Mm.
And he's been a grown man playing in a boys' game for like 4 years. Like, he's yeah. ready. He was ready in his senior year of high school to play against NBA body types. But.
So why are they holding back? Like, why did you just choose to go the long road?
No, no. It's compulsory that they can't go out of high school at the moment. So they have to play 1 year at college, which is kind of good for like people like him. So
maturity,
yeah. mental
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. And it's good for him because he can actually play against sort of like-sized and like-talent players before actually getting schooled in the NBA.
So yeah. Yeah.
Still got a long way to go, but like he'll have a place in the NBA, but he may not reach the heights of LeBron, but the hype.
Is real.
At the moment, oh man, it's just out of control. This guy is just, he's a freak. It's really good to watch.
All right.
And then another quick little tidbit. Last week saw the college football national championship, the fourth rendition of Alabama and Clemson. And a quick little stat chat. We'll have another one later on.
I love it.
The University of Alabama lost by, I think, like 26 points.
It's 44-16.
Yeah, something like that. It was just an absolute blowout. I think Alabama were like a 2-touchdown favorite and lost by like, yeah, 4 touchdowns or something like that.
Eesh.
Their coach, Nick Saban, absolute legend in the game. He hasn't lost a game as a coach by more than 14 points or 2 touchdowns since 2006. So that's 13 that's years.
Crazy. And, that's, yeah.
And even some of his losses have just been some of the most iconic games in the college football history. So
yeah, wow.
You could almost count on 2 hands how many games he's just lost since that time anyway.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's just an amazing achievement to you know, we talk about dynasties and is this the best ever and all that sort of stuff. To have that consistency over the course of that long, you know, is nothing pretty short impressive. Of phenomenal. So yeah.
It's no accident.
No, no. I'm a big American sports and I have been watching that along with the cricket. So, yeah.
Nice one.
Get around it.
So it's a happy time of year for you.
It is. It is, yeah. Yeah, it's really enjoying it at the moment.
Well, staying on the football theme, Timmy, have you got any hot tips come Super Bowl?
Oh, Super Bowl. Oh, it's going to be close, but I'd love to see the Chargers win it.
Large, like the Chargers.
Yeah, but like...
It's the only thing I know about the Chargers, that My Dick song.
Yeah.
My dick cap the late night fee. Yeah. Yeah. Your dick straight to DVD. No?
Yeah, got the HIV.
Yes, yes.
Okay, good.
I'm aware of it.
It's like, we're freaks.
How long can you avoid talking about the cricket? I know it's a sore spot. No one wants to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I think the Chargers have a chance. It just sucks that they moved from San Diego to LA and like literally they play in a 25,000-seat stadium and they can't even fill it.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it'd be good to see them win. Rivers, he's a freak. So if you can get some money on the Chargers, you know, have a little... They're an outsider. They're an outsider, so just a little cheeky bet. A
little sly one. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of moving cities and stadiums and whatnot, did you catch much of that John Jones stuff with the UFC?
Oh, my God.
How crazy was that?
I must admit I have none of
basically,
that
Basically, they pinged John Jones for drugs again.
Again.
A week ahead of the fight.
We wouldn't believe it.
Los Angeles. It was in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Okay, the other
big,
loss.
You know, big giant
fight. Yeah, sure.
And instead of banning him from fighting, they moved the event
to
Los Angeles.
Mm. Because,
so if you've bought tickets to Las Vegas and hotels and how exciting, first ever, and we're going to go see this.
Wait, is it because the rules are different in Vegas as they are to Los Angeles?
Nevada. California, yeah. Because he was banned.
All the big fights. And,
yeah, because he was banned under Nevada law from his previous thing.
Yeah.
But he could still fight in California. I don't know how. I don't know.
Right, someone's
world
cooked the books.
That he can fail a drug test in Nevada and not fail one in California. I've got no idea about that. But yeah, I mean, like,
wow.
25,000-seat stadium.
They just obviously made the call that they're going to make more money on pay-per-views because people want it.
They want it on that. Yeah. Well, it's worth the cup of loss.
They can just burn those bridges.
So they burned those bridges. Those people didn't get like, you can go not have to my tickets knowledge, here.
I'm not super
across that side of things.
I wouldn't think so because
that's nuts.
Technically speaking, Vegas is only like, not that I've driven it, but like 3-4 hour drive from LA. So it's actually not, in the grand scheme of America, it's not that far. It's less than an hour in a plane.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty salty.
Oh.
Rightly so.
But, you know, when you're a multi-billion dollar industry and ESPN's bought you out pretty much.
That's like, it.
Yeah.
The show must go on.
That's just, yeah. It's the case. Interesting.
Interesting. Interesting times. All right.
Now we've got to get into the real sad stuff.
Let's just bring it down a little bit. The capitulation that is Australian cricket at current status. Oh, dear. So, 2-1 in the end.
Should have been
3-1. Had every intention to be 3-1. But like it was in Melbourne, the Sydney weather saved Australia. At one point in the Melbourne game, I thought that the man of the match was going to be the weather. It was going to get line honours. And then came good on the last day.
It was the biggest talking point of the test.
Yeah, you easily could. So it was very disappointing, but I don't think there was any surprises in that scoreline. I certainly at the start of the series thought that Australia would get pumped, and that's what happened. You know, I know we got a win back there. I think that had a lot to do with the toss and the pitch, and we'll get into that because I think that's something that the Sydney test is going to have to do something about, and the Melbourne test for that matter. Making wickets that are just so batting friendly on that first day and two, day one and day two, is just, it's not good. It's just awful for bowling and for the spectacle. And after having, I'm getting into it now, bugger it. After having Adelaide and Perth, which were both fantastic wickets, I saw the ICC gave the Perth wicket an average score, which I don't think it was average.
It wasn't average, but whatever markers they use, and I know it was kind of touched on briefly on the last episode, but like everyone about the color and the amount of grass on
green top,
it's hard. Like it's not, you know, it's grass cover doesn't necessarily mean that it's gonna hoop and everyone's gonna get bowled out for 100. If it's green and it's soft, then you've got real trouble. But you know, it's still hard, and it's a brand new drop-in pitch. Like it's not this thing like the Wacker or the Gabba that's been there 100 years, and it's the same soil and it's the same turf and it's the same ground and it's been treated the same way for X amount of time. And that's what a lot of people, not that they're not considering it, but you can't just for Melbourne, for example, you can't just get another drop-in pitch for next year. Like, it just doesn't
work hard.
Like, you've got to plan it years in ahead. Like, at the Gold Coast, they've been planning that for years and years to when they built the stadium and said, right, we want to play cricket here as well at Metricon. We don't just want to make it for AFL. So, they've been working on a pitch, I can't remember where it was, for a long time to try and get it
ready
to an adequate level, you know, in a shorter amount of time so that they're prepared for it.
Well, people saw the green top And you know, and to an extent, I did as well. And it's always good to get opinions from this podcast because, you know, seeing stuff on Facebook and everyone saying, oh, you know, bowlers delay, da da da. And you and Alex were both saying, like, it's going to dry off in one day and it's going to be a batting deck. Yeah. And then what happened? That was exactly what it did, which I think for me was the one trick out of this entire series that India missed was being duped by that and bringing the four pace attack to Perth, not realizing that this is what was going to happen. They missed a trick there. Australia didn't, and that was why we won that test.
I think it would have been 4-0.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I agree.
I agree. Don't think we would have won.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this idea of tactics with the pitches. Like, the pitch already plays a big part of it, but like, ooh, it looks like this sort of pitch, but really it's this one. Ah, ha, ha, you picked the wrong team. That seems very crickety.
But that's their choice to make. Yeah, like, it's their choice, but they still made the wrong choice.
Yeah,
and it'd be like having the roof closed but projecting, like, stormy weather onto it and then them being like, oh, shit, you guys bat it. And then you open the roof. It's like, ha, 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 it's a perfect day, idiots.
Just can maybe, you imagine
maybe in domes, but like
call me Foxtel.
You walk outside like, well, it sounds rainy inside, but I mean blue skies out here, it's gotta be rainy. All right, we're bowling first.
Or like you crank up the air conditioning, so like in the dome, like at Marvel Stadium, it's like 14 degrees.
Yeah.
And then you just crank it open an hour before, like just the second open after the toss, we'll have a bowl. And then just bang, 40.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, look.
It's ridiculous.
You know, I don't. Well, we could talk about it now with Luke's stat chat, but the toss is so important these days that, like, that cost them the match.
Yeah.
The pitch and the toss and, you know, what happened there, you know, cost them the match in the end. So, you really got, like, because it's so important now, and I'll let Luke talk about it more, you need to get it right. And there should be more, like, thought process involved. It's like, you know, it was going to be over 35 degrees for the first 2 or 3 days. Like, it's going to get...
It'll dry out. That grass will come away.
A good test pitch, like, you know, hometown bias, the Gabba. Difficult to bat on the first 2 sessions.
Yeah.
Then it starts getting a lot easier.
Yeah. Flattens out. That's the idea. Yeah. It is a good wicket.
You know, you factor in the heat, dry heat, all that sort of stuff. Like, you're not looking at... I never looked at that pitch and went, oh, yeah, I'm definitely bowling first. And I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. No, agreed. It's a point you make with the toss being that... All for if rain permitting, you know, obviously India were going to win that fourth one as well. That was 4 from 4, so that was three toss wins for Virat and one for Tim Payne, and that's what happened. It was actually statistically the best year for the toss. The teams that won the toss went on to win the best year ever in Test cricket. That's across all of Test cricket. So yeah, There definitely is more of a I don't know. Just it seems like at these day and age that the wickets don't have enough in it for both. The only one, the Adelaide Test, I definitely thought there was enough in that for both bat and ball. It was just the better team won that one. Second one was it was down to the toss and Australia getting the jump on the bowlers. And the other two, it was straight up. Whoever got the toss won, batted for 2 days. If Australia were good enough, that is. And then they won. They do that twice with a 3-day turnaround, India. They've worn the shit out of the bowlers. You noticed, I think it was on day 2 at the Melbourne test that they were dropping catches. Or was it the end of day 1? No, day 2. And then, maybe day 1, whatever it was. But they were dropping, like, Pat Cummins dropped that catch and Peter Siddle dropped that catch and stuff. And you think, well, shit, if I'd have been out in the field in 40-degree heat, you know, and so close to one another, that takes a toll. And then you're asked to go out and bat. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. So, some of the thoughts, you know, people are talking about the toss and what's the answer here. I know we've floated in the past the idea of you know, the opposition or the touring team gets to choose what they want, and then you're going to see, you know, less. I think I don't mind that, but I think what you're going to find is that the pitches will start to come back to the middle, and there won't be too much variation between pitches around the world because they'll have to come back towards the middle. I did see somewhere, and I don't know if this is the answer either, but this is all just speculation and whatnot, but someone said you flip the toss for the first game of the series and then you alternate.
Yeah,
from there on out. So it's less of, you know, like, so it's still like you have to, these pitches have to be these pitches. I mean, there's not so much you can do within that, you know, that month's time, but that first toss, and then it's up to whatever they want to do post that. I don't mind that. It's the fairest I've seen so far. And I mean, like, I don't really want to get out of the toss. I just think right now there's something that could be done in that space. And I don't think it's changing the coin from a coin to a bat. That's the answer.
That's funny, though.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. How is that? I don't know how they're weighted. I haven't done any research on it, but are they weighted perfectly?
I don't know if they're weighted perfectly, but it's definitely not hills and flats. It's just basically a 2x4 with a little handle on it. It's not, you know, 80-20. It's as close to 50-50 as it can be.
Though I want to know that stat just for backyard cricket. Is it better to call hills or flats?
Flats.
Hills.
Hills, yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, always? I'd is it like piece of toast that always
I'd always call hills.
I don't know what I've called it. Honestly, I don't think I've done it in that many years.
I'll look into it, guys.
I've never called the toss in a game of grass cricket, to be honest. Like,
well, I mean, if you were at the marvellous BCA,
Find out. Oh,
shout
yes.
Shout out to the Roman.
Shout
group.
Out to the, yeah, to those boys. I watched a few of those games.
Yeah, but I think they've even reverted to the coin flip now.
Really?
Yes. So shout out Hilton and all the BCA guys out in Roma.
Well done.
Getting some rain, which is
Oh, is that great? Oh, that is fantastic. Good news.
Yeah. No, so the toss is interesting. You know, Test cricket has been played for like 150 whatever years. So having a year like last year where teams that always won the toss or teams that won the toss generally always won, you know, can be considered an outlier. The fact of the matter is, in Australia, we're still learning drop-in wickets.
Mm.
Adelaide Oval got the revamp. Now they play AFL there.
Yeah.
Melbourne, you know, has had a drop-in for a long time. It's essentially nostalgic now where it's like, you know, Brisbane, green top, swing, pace, whacker, take someone's head off, 5-inch cracks. You know, Adelaide, spin late, always get 5 days. Melbourne, better for the batters, but bigger something field. Sydney, 2 spinners.
That was it.
Throw that out the window.
Yeah, you can.
That doesn't happen here in Australia anymore. And that's because of the drop-in pitches. We play on AFL fields, even though they're called the MCG. It's an AFL.
Yeah.
It's an AFL, you know, stadium.
It's used that for most of the time,
It's 100,000 people, not for cricket. It's for AFL.
They use so much more of the field, Tim.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's something that we're not 100% with, and case in point, Melbourne. But, you know, Melbourne, the creators of the Melbourne pitch can go, oh, well, it was flat for the first 2 days. I watched every ball of Boxing Day and the day after. Mm. I saw 7 wickets.
Yeah.
I didn't watch, I barely watched any of the third day. It was 15 wickets.
Hmm.
So they can go, oh, well, you know, but look at all these wickets that fell and, you know, average it over the 3 days, blah, blah, blah. You know, that, again, that's not the point.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard. I actually like the touring team picks, but in places like here, it will come back to the median. Like it will, they'll all be very similar. Which is disappointing because you do like the character, but at the same time,
contest is good too.
Yeah, this is the situation that we're at. So
yeah. Look, it's interesting. I don't think we're going to have the answer right now, but it's definitely a mark of debate that we're going to have to continue to have because at the moment, I think it's the problem is that the wickets aren't adequate anymore.
Mm.
But anyway,
we're still getting used to it.
Yeah,
used to the drop-ins. So I think. I don't know what the answer is with there. If you're a curator out there.
Oh, I'd love to hear from you.
Kevin Mitchell, he's probably not doing anything.
What's
at the
he
moment.
Doing these days? Get him on the show. Yeah. Go on, Mike. Give him a call.
Vilken's number is 04.
So here's the thing. Obviously, the wickets were the wickets and there was their own level there. But at the same time, India were able to go out and do a job.
That is the bottom line, isn't
it?
Yeah. We can complain about the pitches the cows come home. Both teams batted
both bowled.
And there was a totally different result.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a lot of discrepancies between the Australians. It's almost as if having two of your best batsmen on the sidelines due to some level of, I don't know, trickery is not good.
It's some old, don't even think about it.
Some doofy whacker.
It has an impact on the squad. It's almost like, and like people are talking about, you know, getting them back in the team, rah, rah, rah. And it almost feels like this is the punishment. This is the real punishment for Australian cricket.
Mm.
This is the reason why you don't fucking cheat and don't do it again. Because look at the consequences of when you do. You get thumped for the first time in 71 years by India.
And it hurts. At home,
and it fucking hurts. And it should hurt because that's what a punishment is. So it's the pill that we needed to take.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to take it because that was... If we'd have come out and won this series, there's no repercussions from the cheating scandal. So,
The same cats that are saying, oh, Ben Smith for life, Ben Warner for life, are the same cats that are like, Labba what?
Yeah.
Get Smith back into the team. Like, don't have your cake and eat it too. And that's why they stuck with the punishment in the end. I disagreed with it, but you can see where they're coming from in the sense of like, new regime, new CEO, new high performance manager, new this, new that, blah, blah, blah. Half the board's gone.
Yeah.
Right. We're setting a standard. Here it is. The point is true, but you need the high ranking and well respected people on board as well.
Mm.
I can't remember exactly who was coming out and said, you know, we've lost our bad boy image and blah, 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 this and that. It's like, that's not helping the problem. the whole business of Cricket Australia has come out and said, we need to change.
Yeah.
Then old mate, who, you know, is a legend of shows, come out and just blast it. It's like, look, I'm all for, you know, constructive criticism and trying to get things better, blah, blah, blah. But they've made a deliberate choice to say, we're not doing this anymore, which is fine, whatever. You got to get those sorts of people, you know, bring them in. Like, bring in whoever it was, if it was Lily, if it was Warne or whoever, and just say, right, we get what you're saying. We know how it worked back then. We need you on board.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, because I mean, that can really help
mentalities.
Yeah. And the fans.
And if you bring them in, who would be against that?
Mm. Yeah. I heard on ABC Radio, they're talking to Dirk Nannis, just to bring it back to the performances. So, and Dirk was talking about how a couple of years ago, there was they used to do the second 11s for the state shield teams, right? There was a competition for the shield teams in the state level, but it was on the second 11s. So that was everybody from the young fellas to the oldies that didn't quite make the firsts. And he was saying how it was a good experience for him. He actually, I think his first game he played, or he was playing in the seconds when Glenn McGrath came back from after Jane passed away, and he was playing the seconds game to sort of get himself back into the habit. And like, you know, Glenn smashed everybody, but the experience that he got out of that, and the experience that you see from the young fellas getting from the older heads, and the, you know, that mentality and all that cricket knowledge that you, and then a couple of years ago they changed it to an under 21s league instead. So you're allowed 2 23-year-olds in your team, but everyone else is under the age of 21, and that was the competition they played. So what that did was, you all of a sudden, all that cricket knowledge is out the window. All those old heads that knew everything about the game, that are talking about stuff, you know, that's gone. So now you've got all these kids that have got no extra clue other than how to play cricket, but no idea about the, you know, like the fat that makes you, you know, such a knowledgeable cricketer. It's like, so then I was watching, they had Mike Hussey on talking about it wasn't Mike Hussey. They were talking about the India test 10 years ago. It was Brett Lee, Gilly and Simo. And Simo was saying it was always good to have Mr. Cricket out there, because not only did he like keep you in check, but he knew everything. He'd be there going, right, that bowler's going to come on next. He's got two more to go. That means this is going to happen. Make sure we do that. Da, 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 da. Now, if you're not getting that at 23 from the older heads where you're learning from that, if you're just going and be like, I'll just play cricket. Like, it's no wonder then when you throw a young side in, the young batting squad up there that don't have that level of, you know, education in the game, why they get out there and they don't perform, because they're not thinking about the game. They're just trying to play ball by ball, and rather than, I don't know, I think there was something there, and I was like, oh, Dirk Nannis and me agree on a point. There you go.
You're talking about sort of like the cricket IQ.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Think, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I think in today's game, there's so much analytics, like it's almost baseball. So
yeah,
if they're not picking up on those cues, then like they're actually dumb.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Just straight up. And with T20 now, you even hear it on the commentary. Right. They've got third man and fine leg in.
What do you reckon that means?
It's going to be full.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, play the percentages of that. Like, there'll be teams in the BBL, for example, that say, right, when Bravo bowls and fine leg and third man up, 95% of the time it's a Yorker, or 95% of the time it's a slow ball. He's going
for that shot, yeah.
So, like, it's there.
Mm.
And if teams aren't doing that, they're so far behind, it's not even funny. So
yeah.
I don't really like that as an excuse. I think, you know, you could probably add up the number of tests of the starting six batsmen, and it would probably be less than 100. I don't know straight up. Whereas in years past, it's generally been like one newbie and then a lot of experienced heads. So you can kind of cover that person.
Yeah, you're not normally bleeding a three.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not.
They're usually at six.
Six, yeah. Well, that was where I was expecting Labuschagne to go. I was expecting him to drop in at that sixth position. I didn't expect what happened to occur. And look, you know, he second top scored.
Mm.
on 38 or 37.
Yeah, is that an
do you know what I mean? Like
seven an achievement?
No, it's not. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, so I felt like they were really pulling a Callum Ferguson on the kid and just being like, here you go, go on into like the lamb to the slaughter. Yeah.
Feeding him to the wolves.
Yeah, especially because he's bowling those. I watched his first over and it was just nervous. They were, you know, he was pulling him down and just got smashed. I think it was 12 off the first over or something like that. And I was like, oh, you poor bastard.
He's barely considered as a part-time bowler anyway.
Yeah. So I've got nothing against the kid. I just thought it was an interesting decision to bring him in and then put him at three. Sure, play him if you want your second spinner, but surely you should just be bringing someone like almost like, you know, like a Burns into an opening. And
what?
Then, I know, right? No, but that's a stupid idea. Who? It's a stupid idea, Tim.
What's this guy you're talking about?
Joe Burns. Yeah, no, someone you haven't heard of him before.
Kearns.
I was saying Kearns.
I cannot picture his face. I got no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, he's making odd 40 odd averaging this season. I think he's on 47 average. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, but surely he hasn't scored a century this summer.
No, a couple, I think, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well, then, nah, he's not good.
Not good for us. No. We're not going to pick the best side.
Yeah.
Especially then, like, when we don't do it and then.
We need to be punished.
Yeah. Maybe that's
bad.
It.
He's like Labuschagne's not even the best cricketer in his.
His team. Yeah.
and he's not even gonna be.
I know.
Not even gonna be. Anyway.
Selection decisions were just interesting. I saw Trevor Home came out and talked about it.
Your mate.
Oh, God. I can't stand him. But, yeah, I don't know. What blew my mind away is that you don't pick Renshaw or Burns.
Kearns.
It's Kearns, yeah. Burns, it's and then Kearns. And then you bring in Pukowski. Yeah. Is it Pukowski?
Yeah.
Will Pukowski?
Yeah.
But you wait until the next series, like the one that against Sri Lanka in a two test series. Like, what?
We can, the whole of Australia is kind of questioning it, but
oh god,
we'll have to get back to the actual
sorry,
because I haven't actually spoken about the performance.
Do you reckon the selectors
got so much to talk about?
No, that they tell their mates that I'm actually on one of the selectors for the thing, and then they're talking a big game, and then when the matches go, they have to sit there like next to their mates, being like, "Oh,
well, it wasn't
me." I fought for Kearns.
Yeah,
aren't you the selector? Well. Don't look at me. I voted for Kearns.
Exactly. So, you know, performance-wise...
So I hope they're feeling the heat.
Oh, wow. The Brisbane heat?
Yeah.
I just didn't want to say Burns.
That Kearns and Renshaw both play for the Brisbane heat. See, I see what you did there, Vilkins.
That's a very clever joke, Michael.
Yes.
A couple of layers to that one.
So dumb it came full circle.
Yeah, real good.
Really, you know what? That was the smartest thing that's ever been said on this podcast, and you didn't even know what you were saying.
Nobody was around to hear it.
And that wraps up the series. We're done. Yeah. Wilkins, you've
Michael
achieved
actually,
greatness.
He's done it.
Yeah. Reached cricket nirvana.
Yeah. That's
it. Now, from now on, I'm like, did we do the podcast? What? Yeah. Did I say anything?
You're like the Dalai Lama now.
Yeah. You put out a couple of bats, I'm like, this one's mine. Yeah. And they're like, that's the Dalai Lama's bat.
You're the Dalai Lama of mid-range domestic cricket podcast.
Yeah, well done. Good stuff. There's a market for that. That's
that
niche. Okay. But yeah, from the actual performances themselves, obviously one century in a year of Test cricket, I think it was, and it was the Pakistan-UAE game and Khawaja in a test saving scenario.
Which was phenomenal innings.
It was a phenomenal innings. I will not take it off him. Absolutely wouldn't. But yeah, other than that, I think we topped with the bat, we topped 300 three times. One was the last one, which we hit 300. There was a 302. There was a 347. But no more than 350 in the entire test series. It just isn't enough runs. And most of those runs coming from the tail.
Yeah. In terms of the batting, I think. Look, I actually think the talent is there. Maybe it's not the all-time greats that we're accustomed to seeing, but I think the talent is there. The problem is the decision making.
Mm.
I can't remember what test it was. Where Finch third ball tries to.
It's Melbourne, I think.
Yeah. Or was it Perth? I can't remember. Just tries to knock the absolute shit out of the ball.
Yeah, chops on.
And you're like, you are not a test cricketer if you're doing that. And that's why, for the same reason, I can't ever forgive Maxwell a couple of years ago, reverse sweeping, trying to save a test match at number three. Like, I just, that shot to me was the second worst dismissal of the series. The worst dismissal of the series was Khawaja in Sydney. Now, India put on what? 600,000?
Yeah.
And they were cruising along, like, none for 60. Like, good cricket at that stage would see you through to a relatively comfortable draw.
Yep. Well, that was where I was expecting.
Khawaja and Harris had the opportunity to both ton up. Wasn't doing too much. You know, it was good conditions for batting. And then he just out of nowhere plays the most ridiculous slog of all time and gets caught like a 10-year-old at mid-wicket. Yeah. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, I was speechless watching it. And I was like, how can you be considered a test cricketer to get out like that? Like, that's something that we would get out on.
Yeah. Oh, I've gotten out that way.
Like, it just didn't. That was just the most it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Win at all cost mentality. Like, you know, I have to make these numbers happen, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe I'm sure there is some sort of internal pressure, but that's subpar state cricket.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't even come into test cricket.
And it's that IQ again, like knowing that was a plan to try and get him to do that and then he does it. Like, falling for plans is like the dumbest thing I think you can do as a cricketer, because you have to know what they're trying to do to you. You have to know that, like, Finch, when he put that one, I think, he got caught, I think, in mid-wicket. Was that right? Oh, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, there was just a whole bunch of times it was like you fell for that plan.
Yeah.
Bloody Travis Head in the Adelaide Test chopping, you know, getting caught back at third man, I think it was, and did it twice.
And
same shot.
Even in the last test where he gets the caught and bowled, it's like,
yeah,
that's just really soft dismissals at the worst possible times.
Yeah.
You know, you try and gather momentum in a dead rubber and India's just put on 10 million and you're playing this ratty little nothing shot and it's the easiest catch of your life. And you're just thinking, what is going through your head at this stage?
Well, I think as well, I know I posted something on Reddit about how, you know, like, India, this is in the third test. I was like, India are going to win this one. There's no, like, the series, you know. And, you know, congratulations on that. And there's absolutely, I would take absolutely nothing away from India. They played, the performance was exceptional. But this is a weaker side. It's a weaker Australia team. And some point, there was a couple of posts that were like around the, you know, like, that cheapens the win if you say that type of thing. Or it's the weaker side. To what I'd say to that is, sure, but like, what happened like 10 years ago when you had like VVX Laxman and Dravid and Tendulkar and, you know, like Ganguly and all these guys have come over. Kumble. All these guys have come over here and you're going to try and tell me that, and this team is a good Indian squad, don't get me wrong, but is it as good as those guys? And they couldn't get a job done. So you ask yourself, is this a better team, an Indian team, or is Australia at the moment not in a more as stronger position, not taking anything away from it because they still had to go out and do it, and they did. They fucking nailed us to the cross, but it is against a weaker side. And
yeah, I don't want to go too harsh because they're the first Asian team to come and win a series in Australia.
I say nothing against it. They absolutely played perfectly. Pujara is my number one draft pick at the moment in international cricket for bat for my life. Mm. I don't think you could possibly choose anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, well, the dude is that good. I just loved his technique.
Talking about batting decisions.
Mm.
Decisions that crease. What's Pujara's goal?
Just bat numbers. Bat time.
Bat 100 balls and then think about how many runs I've got.
Yeah.
Case in point, Perth test. Pujara and Kohli.
Yeah.
They were going at like less than 2 and over at some stage. But once they got in, look what happened. They put on a score. Like, they did lose the test, yes. But that's how you play test cricket.
Yeah.
Balls, balls, balls.
Wonderful.
Title.
I love it. They said the name of the thing.
That's the thing. Did the song.
Yes. So, yeah, like,
it's true, though.
Harris played well. Harris, Khawaja, Finch. All they need to do is look at the guy that they're fielding against. As to how to play test cricket, it's right there.
Yeah, but the mold is there.
I think Harris can definitely do it.
Oh, I think we've got a future there in Harris.
But you just got to do it, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, and we talked about this off air before, but how batting time these days is becoming a lost art in Australian cricket because, and the other thing is, you know, like because the Shield season is split up. So you're not choosing batters, you know, batsmen, you're choosing the same bowling squad. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. But with the batsmen, you're choosing from Shield cricket that happened a month or so ago, you know, and then BBL's in there. Do you know that I'm pretty sure, and I haven't fact checked this, but I'm almost positive that the BBL is the longest running T20 competition in the world.
Well,
it runs the longest.
It won't surprise me now because it's a full home and away season.
Yeah.
And by that, you play against each team at home and each team away. So it's a 14 game regular season.
Yeah. So
massive.
It's huge and it takes such a chunk, which means that to me, it just looks like corporate greed. And that
it doesn't look like corporate
greed. No, it is. it is corporate greed. And what that's doing is stripping away those players from an opportunity to really make a time, you know, make a time of it in the middle.
The quote of the summer is like, well, no one's banging down the door.
Oh my God.
How can you? No one's playing 4-day cricket.
Yeah.
How can you? What door can you bang down
if it's a T20 door?
And then everyone, you know, here in Queensland, well, what's Renshaw and Burns got to do to get in the team? It's like, what does Finch have to do to get out of it?
Yeah.
Fucking bat left-handed? I don't know. Like, but he's out now. But like, yeah, it's just one of those things that like you can't pick on form. You know, sometimes. One of the things I wanted to bring up as well as part of the selections, and we're honing in on that again, yeah. Pun intended. See where we get.
Man, we should do more early morning woods.
Breakfast woods.
Breakfast
woods. We're having a morning wood.
Breakfast wood.
We already have a title for it. We don't need to charge it.
No, I just, yeah.
Have a bowl of breakfast wood. Yeah. Ooh.
Nutty.
Now, that's my train of thought.
I'm Trevor Hogue.
Yeah. So, with, you know, they're totally different sports, but in rugby league, for example, they have state of origin in the middle of the year, which is kind of the pinnacle. Kind of.
We're not going to touch it.
Then at the end of the year, they pick the team for Australia. And generally, there's one or two players that have performed well at the second half of the year that didn't play in Origin that have now, you know, their team made the grand final on the back of their performances. They get picked for the Australian side.
Yeah.
So you're picking the hot hand per se. Mm. You can't do that for Test cricket in Australia at the moment.
Yeah, it's real.
You can't pick the hot hand when you have the Big Bash for so long.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't, let's say Matty Wade, for example, was on fire. And he's still batting really, really well in the T20, but you can't necessarily throw him in.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have that, you know, that recent performance under his belt. He's playing Big Bash and he's doing really well. But, you know,
it's
and
then the
people would say, oh, well, but he's still seen it like a watermelon. So why don't you chuck him into the testing? Well, it's not as simple as just chucking someone in from good form in the Big Bash into the test team.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't.
Because you're not batting, you're batting 40 balls tops, not 140 balls.
Yeah, like he's required to bat a day.
Yeah.
Not bat.
None of them could do
for
that.
For 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, the closest was, it was Khawaja, and that was in the UAE.
Yeah, so it's hard for us to expect people to come into this test team and actually perform pretty well.
Is it time to go back to just the Bash League? Has the Bash League become too big? I'm hearing.
No, I got it.
You want to take the big out of the Big Bash?
Well, there's too much of it. It's taking up too much time away from Test cricket.
You want a fight
league. Let's just go back to a Bash League.
You just want a fight club.
I thought you wanted...
like just bashing.
I thought you wanted Harris versus Renshaw in the bloody octagon.
Hey, I'd watch
Steel
it.
Steel cage match. Winner opens the batting for Australia.
I'm open to anything. In fact, yeah. I might be more partial to
who
that.
Who wants it more?
You gotta want it. Gallon or Hoppo?
He's now banging down the octagon door, begging to be let out.
He's on the inside, I see.
It is, look, all jokes aside, it's a valid point, but I don't think we're going to... I think there is a spot for a 14-game Big Bash. The scheduling can be changed to better suit the test team so that we can have the quote-unquote hot hand form or form player, whatever you want to call it, to actually have some sort of momentum to ride into a test debut or a test recall. Something like that would be nice. The closest thing we came to was like Burns was playing well, Wade was playing well. Renshaw scored 345 in first grade for Toombul the week before the first test squad was announced. So like there was a little bit of form, but like I wouldn't expect any of those
first grade versus state.
Yeah, but I wouldn't expect any of those players to come in and say that they're in form. Renshaw has batted twice in eight weeks
and hasn't performed as well.
He's not a T20 player, so like you know you lose that sort of stuff. But
yeah.
Another thing about the performance that we'll go back to. It hasn't been. It's been spoken about a bit, and Warning kind of brought it up. And he's not necessarily wrong, but I think there's you've got to put an asterisk next to it. The bowlers have been disappointing as a whole.
You reckon?
I think there's two factors at play. The first, they're getting put into terrible
situations. Situational, yeah, I agree with that.
So sometimes I can excuse Stark of trying too hard, but Payne did a pretty good job as a captain to really limit his spells.
Yeah,
and that was something Clark did with Mitchell Johnson pretty well as well.
Yeah.
Like he would only really bowl those four over spells and just say, right, mate, just
give us everything you got.
Yeah. But, you know, Warning kind of went down that they're getting, you know, and it wasn't just Stark, it was Hazelwood, not so much Cummins, but they're not that they've lost their aura, but their spot is safe in the team.
Yeah.
So do they taper that off? Like any sort of sporting star, once they get that big contract, people always made the argument that their performances have dropped because they've got the guaranteed money or something like that. I think that's a little bit harsh, but the thing that's been different is that they're all healthy at the same time. So they haven't actually had a break.
Yeah,
Stark,
true.
I don't think Stark has played a full test summer ever.
No.
And then he's had to go out and the conditions have been... hot.
Did he miss a game last year? I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
I think he missed Boxing Day.
Boxing Day, yeah.
So, you know, there's always been one of them has had a test off to, you know...
recuperate.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was the idea of bringing Marsh in, but just...
It didn't help.
It didn't help.
So, you know, I think they could be... I mean, they could be excused for a little bit of fatigue. And having the four bowlers and no genuine assistance, like Marsh was there to kind of, you know, take the heat off, but like he didn't really add anything.
No.
Labuschagne's not doing anything. Travis Head, I thought, could have gotten more, but he doesn't really.
Doesn't do enough. I don't think it does enough.
So we're struggling in that department. And so that affects our strike bowlers.
Well, I saw something, I think it was on Reddit the other day, yesterday, I think it was. And it was saying between 2000 and 2007, I think it was 15 test caps were given out.
15 debutants.
Yeah, debutants. And then between 2007 and now, 45 have been given out.
Mm.
So
I think it's even more than that. I can't remember the stat, but yeah.
It was a crazy amount, right? So we've tried a lot of things post that golden era. That may not necessarily have worked, and I think the management of the players has probably not been the best at times. I mean, you play Renshaw for 11 tests and then you drop the poor kid. It just seemed
for nothing.
Just seemed bizarre. But then, you know, there's been all those little reports of like Brad Hodge, coming out like, you know, he hit a double 100 and then he got dropped and that was it. And like, and he's kind of, I think Ed Cowan came out and said the same thing. Like, you know, like there's just mentality. Some players just don't, you know, we don't want you.
If Brad Hodge was 10 years younger, he'd be on almost on par with Ricky Ponting.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, I don't think you're exaggerating that.
Don't email us and say, Tim said that Brad Hodge is better than Ricky Ponting. No, that's not what I'm saying. He would be on that sort of pillar.
Echelon,
oh, he's our saving grace. Like, if we had Smith and a Brad Hodge, you know,
we would have been fine.
Yeah, but
yeah. Well, we're missing 150 runs. I think that was the major problem with our team was that we were always just missing that 150 runs.
So yeah, I don't know if there's a short term solution, but
the short term solution seems to be those players that weren't banging on the door that all of a sudden
they fell through it.
Because, I mean, how can you say in that fourth test that this is the best team you've got and then immediately afterwards drop three of them and bring in... I think they dropped four, actually, and then bring three in or something like that. And all of a sudden, you've got, okay, we're going to give Burns a go. We're going to give Renshaw a go. We're going to give Bukowski a go. And it's like, well, where the hell were they in the fourth one when it mattered? Like, that just blows my mind that they waited until now. I don't understand.
I actually don't think that really matters, to be honest. Like, what was Renshaw Birds going to do if they bought in the one test? Like, what? Like, I don't really have too much of an opinion on that. But Finn shouldn't have been selected in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, easy.
Is that a controversial opinion?
I think if you needed him in the team, you should have batted him around six.
Yeah.
Even then. Yeah, even then, I don't think he's still your guy.
He's not a test cricketer.
No, I think he's proven that now, that that's just not the case when it comes to the boy. Mm. Look, I think we'll have a real quick touch on the ODI squad, because there's been some omissions. The most important one, I think, are two, Darcy Short and Chris Lynn, both out of the team. I think Short has much more of a case than Lynn does. Is basically where I've landed on that one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, did Nathan Lyon get a run in the team? I can't remember. Might have a look.
Yeah. While Luke has a look at the exact team, I think the omission of Lynn was a fair call.
Yeah, I agree.
Lack of playing time and also lack of form doesn't help him at all. Darcy Short, again, is this quote-unquote hot hand that I spoke about before. Like, you got to play him.
Yeah. I mean, the T20 form is obviously closer to one day than it is test, obviously. Yeah.
My argument to play devil's advocate in this situation, the World Cup is in, 6 months?
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah.
They are now going to pick the team.
Yeah.
Like, that is going to play in a World Cup final.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
So, you know, particularly after the last World Cup, or even leading into the last World Cup, I should say, we were playing like 40 players in like a 12-month period, I think the stat was, or something like that. And then besides that game in New Zealand, which we almost won, we looked unbeatable.
Yeah.
So
I think we ran 14% ODI wins
But this year, 2018? Yeah, this year is, well, last year, I should say, is being down, but I think now is when you're actually going to see the Starks and the Hazelwoods actually play all the one days, or they might get one off or something like that, because this is the team they're rolling with. The time for experimenting is over.
It's gone.
We can't afford to go into a World Cup still experimenting at this stage.
I agree. So the team we've got, Aaron Finch is the captain. I think it's fair. Behrendorff, Alex Carey, who is your hot hand as well.
Yeah, he's been going really well.
He's done really, really well at the moment, Alex Carey. Peter Hanscom, Aussie, Nathan Lyon. So
yeah, he's in.
The GOAT did get in. Mitch Marsh, Sean Marsh, Glenn Maxwell. So Maxie, you might get a run. He will get a run. You've got to have him in that team. Yeah. Jai Richardson, which I think is a really good pick.
Yep.
Peter Siddle, got to have Sids around the team, apparently. My favorite bit about Peter Siddle being in the ODI squad, right, is, and this is Cricket Australia's Facebook that did this. This is like the cheeky buggers. They did they're like, Peter Siddle is in the ODI squad once again. You know, like, to celebrate, here's his most recent one-day international wicket in 2010.
Yeah. Potassium Pete Siddle.
Billy Stanlake, who has, in my opinion, been woeful.
He's been poor.
Real poor.
But real poor. Australia's one day, and well, even to an extent, the T20 mentality has just been, you got to have someone who can bowl 150.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean Tate, case in point.
Yeah, well, like, Sean Tate was terrifying.
He was one of the first picked in those teams back when he was in his prime.
No one knew where he was going to bowl it.
Yeah.
Marcus Boynas-Toynas and Adam Zampa. So there's no Cummins, no Stark.
Cummins needs a well-deserved break.
Oh, mate.
But he is in the team. He is in the World Cup team.
You absolutely are taking Stark, all three of them. They're giving the bowlers a rest, I'd say.
Yeah.
And rightly so. I don't think you're going to bowl those guys.
I think Stoinis has to play. I think Maxwell, if he doesn't play, he's 12th man. Like, that's how close he is. Yeah. Because in the one day is now, the importance of variation in your bowl is not necessarily in your deliveries, but also in the options that you have is so important these days. So, yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I would have loved to have seen Darcy Short open the batting.
But
we won't see it.
Yeah, that's the case in point. So, Michael, before you go anywhere else, it's not going to be a quiz as such this week.
Oh, I tried to come up with a quiz, but I just...
It's harder than it looks, isn't it?
No.
People think it's simple.
It's simple. But
oh, you got me.
A good quiz with quirkiness and humor, not so simple.
Yeah.
No.
So case in point.
Luke Gold.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this one's not so much of a quiz as much as it is. A couple of terminologies that I heard over the cricket, especially on ABC Cricket, but I went and looked out for a couple, and I want to see whether or not what you would think. So this isn't ABC.
That's okay.
This is just you just got to shoot from the hip, mate.
All right.
Are you ready? It's Quiz Corner. First one.
Well, that is a what? Okay.
Quiz Corner.
Yeah, apparently.
Do we have a sting?
I guess we might have to have one. This is the first Quiz Corner, really.
Quiz Corner. Cue the sting.
You've been cornered
by the quiz.
Yeah.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just lock that one in. Thanks.
Oh, God.
Australia
okay.
Podcast Awards 2019.
Yeah. Like, it's beautiful. Give him the award for the first time.
Best sting.
Best sting. We should go for best sting.
Nice.
How is best sting not a contested?
And the nominees are Kapow! Smash that like button and...
I'm going to go with smash that like button. Thank you. All right, Michael, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
This is a... What is a gazunda?
Gazunda.
Gazunda.
That is a...
It's a terminology I hadn't heard before either.
Can I just clarify something?
Sure.
I can pronounce the spelling if you'd like.
No. Is this like a genuine like wisdom cricketer term?
Yeah.
Or is this a... Like someone's had a stroke, and
That's a gazunda. I heard Jim Maxwell using this, and he is the voice of ABC Cricket.
Fielding term?
It is a cricket term.
You got to be more specific.
But no, I mean like,
yeah, come on, what do you want out of me?
No. Like, is it?
It's not something to do with the fielding. Okay, I'll give you that.
That's exactly what I wanted out of you.
Then you've got it. That's your one clue. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
Did it help?
Is it when you? Hit the ball and it sort of goes like it's a fizzler, you know. It's sort of, you know, it stays low to the ground, but it's a bit unpredictable.
Oh, he's so close, Michael. Timmy, do you want to have a run?
Give him the points, Tim.
It stays low, goes underneath the bat, and
goes under. Bold. It's a gazunda.
Goes under.
So it goes under the bat, but it comes from the chamber pot under the bed. So yeah, gazunda goes under the bat. So it's a ball that stays low.
So it's a ball that goes under the bat, but it's not called a gazunda because it goes under the bat. It's called a gazunda because it goes under the bat in the same way that a bedpan goes under a bed.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Why just not save yourself the extra step?
Why would you like shut up?
That's goes under like a ball under a bat, like it
because
did
I did the research and that's what it came up with, Michael. All right,
goddamn.
Thank you,
Michael,
for your quiz.
What is a hand grenade?
In cricket.
No, I think you know what a hand grenade is.
Yeah, well, in combat.
Yeah. Is it a ball that you lob?
You can't give me that.
No, I'm not. Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to give you that.
For what reason is it?
Well, that would be telling.
Like, you lob it and it spins in an unexpected direction.
No. So a hand grenade is a wicket could come from any ball. Like, he's bowling hand grenades. Someone's bowling hand grenades. They're bowling any ball.
Batsman is struggling. Has no idea what's going on.
Because every ball could blow up in his face. Every ball could be a wicket.
I can follow that, and I can respect your ruling.
All right. Now this one.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers for that. So this is a one I heard on the Big Bash due to Ashton Agar.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, Ashton Agar. This is where this one came out of. What is an ice cream?
It's a batsman's delight.
Ooh.
Like,
ooh,
you know,
I like where your thought process
is.
Yeah,
they're just like, oh, that's a nice tasty ice cream for him.
Ooh, that's some Neapolitan ice cream right there. He's hit that one straight through.
Yeah,
through
that's
the
pure,
covers.
Pure vanilla. That's just middle stump. Jesus. Not chocolate or strawberry.
An ice cream, Michael, is when you catch it with your fingertips, but the ball pops out just as you catch it, like an ice cream falling out of an ice cream cone.
Okay, nice. So I was nowhere near.
So like when you're doing a diving catch or whatever, and it kind of goes like, and you catch it, and
by
it
your elbow
hits the elbow,
hits the ground,
and it goes,
and it drops out.
And pops out.
Yep, I can follow that.
It's called an ice cream. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All right.
Whatever happened to just saying, it just popped out when I hit the ground.
No, man, I totally ice creamed it.
Shut up.
All right. Now, this one's more about... this is, again, I think this is a Jim Maxwell story, and it's talking about a Kiwi friend of his that referred to cricket as a gherkin. So what did he mean when he said that cricket was a gherkin?
Everyone involved is real salty. I don't know.
He's referring
it's
to cricket.
It's a small, it's not a pickle. It's like a small innings.
Tim, any idea?
So cricket as a game.
Yeah. So cricket's a gherkin.
You gotta love it. You either love it or you hate it.
Yes, that is exactly right. Nice. Congratulations. Some people love it, some people hate it.
Okay, and on that point, gherkins.
Multiple gherkins?
Do you like them?
Oh, I don't. Yes, I'm a gherkin man.
Yeah, I'm in the love camp.
Ooh,
yeah.
Sporting Woods gherkin. Yeah.
Pro gherkin. I mean, I could have pick and called that. I reckon. I would have guessed we were more pro gherkin.
Welcome
then.
To the new podcast, Pro Gherkin.
we about the gherkin juice then. Michael, do you know what gherkin juice is?
The pickle juice.
We talked about the pickle juice.
Do I know what it is?
Yeah, in cricket. What's pickle juice? Cricket.
Well, it's not just cricket. It's
sport. Well, it's sport, but in yeah.
cricket. You either love it or you hate it, but it's wet.
But it's juicy.
Yeah.
It's like this.
It's one of those weather.
It's like
things.
A really salty drink. High salt that they drink, like Uber Powerade.
Okay.
It's like a gel kind of thing just about now.
Yeah. Yeah, they gelled it now. Yeah.
Pajara threw up.
There's so much the body has to overcome just to play cricket. It really it's like does. God's just begging you not to.
Yeah. So Pajara did have one on the field and he had to throw up.
Yeah, because it was too much cramping salt. And then we just did.
It's good for cramp. Yeah, but they're gross.
Made famous by Aaron Finch when he was on stump. You could hear him on stump cam movies, but he's like, pickle juice. I need the pickle juice.
That was great.
What a flog. Test team.
Michael, what's a lollipop?
Oh, this one I know. That's got to be, it's a medical thing, isn't it?
I don't know. You tell me, Michael. Tell me where that is a medical thing.
Your leg gets broken or like chopped off in a horrible accident.
In a cricket accident.
And they're like, hey, look, don't worry. Here's a lollipop pumped with like painkillers or whatnot.
Do you mean the green stick?
Yeah, you're talking about
the green whistle?
No, there's like a lollipop
they give
version.
A lollipop?
I've seen, yes, lollipop.
That is not a thing.
It is a thing.
Like you've injured yourself to the point where you require... morphine.
How's a green
here's a lollipop?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, because it's you like, just because suck it's on the.
It may have been before the time of. Okay, yeah. Oh, sorry. Tell me what a lollipop is.
It's a really easy catch.
Oh, you're well, fucking. Or it's like an ice cream.
Or a dolly.
They call it a dolly lollipop.
Dolly is the traditional
term. Yeah, it's an easy catch.
Whoa. But okay. What? Why? What?
I don't know why.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why it's a dolly.
It's this thing. No reason why.
It's a lollipop. It's just like it's a simple
the lollipop.
Catch. I tried to do the research on it. I couldn't find it. I'm sure it's out
so that's
there.
Why you said lollipop instead of dolly.
No, I did see dolly, but I thought lollipop was nicer. Again, I'm bringing like the. It's hard to do a good quiz, Tim, but it's fun. You know, you got to go for the quirky side of it. Yeah. And finally, Michael, what's a Dorothy Dix?
This, that's got to be a six.
Yeah.
It is. It's Australian rhyming slang for a six is a Dorothy Dix.
You kicking goals, mate? You kicking goals?
Yeah. So, Mark Waugh is quite fond of the Dorothy Dix. So
of course he is.
That's the quiz for this week. More of a shootout for a quiz corner.
Terrific.
So is it Luke's quiz? Quiz corner or the shootout?
It's the shootout.
Welcome to
You've
the shootout.
You've been cornered into the Tim shootout. Let's have a stat chat.
Shootout.
Corner. You all the stings.
Welcome to the chat. Stat chat. Quiz. What? Welcome to the stat chat.
Stat chat quiz shootout. There you go. We'll call it all that. Right. We'll put them all together.
Let's get this so running.
Guys, this is for those that will jump on the Facebook, I'm assuming, or whatever we're on. But Michael has gone out and being inspired with
not an ambulance driving by.
Being inspired by the flying fox and spider cam, Michael has gone and bought himself a drone.
Bought himself? It was Christmas, Luke.
Okay.
It's possible that I've been given this.
Were
this
you?
Is not like, well, I was. I mean, I help somebody else pay for it.
Oh my God.
There it is.
There's the penny. I see it drop. So Michael's bought himself got a present of a drone.
Well, now that just sounds sadder.
So, so that we can have our own spider cam during the podcast. And I was not expecting it to be this loud. But it, here we go. Look at that. So there's some footage for everyone at home.
But before we call the ambulance, we've got an edition of Stat Chat Quiz Shootout Corner.
No, we don't. I've used... Oh, I do. I'll tell you what. I've got one last one.
Of course you do.
One teeny tiny one. Why do we call it cricket?
Oh, I don't even know that.
Where did the term cricket come from?
Iceland.
Oh, you're not far. So I did like, let's say 10 minutes worth of research on this, all right? But the most likely...
Don't write us.
Don't write us. But the
don't
most
email us.
Yeah, the most likely of ways that this came about or where the name cricket came from was from it was the Dutch word for hockey, because hockey used a stick and like a ball, and it was cricket, like K-R-I-K-K-E-T, cricket.
Cricket.
And that was like the Dutch word for hockey.
Nothing to do with croquet.
Could have been, possibly, but that was the most likely that I researched. The most I saw that was where it came from was the Dutch word for
Mitchell
for hockey.
Cricket.
What?
Of the Cricketons.
What are you talking about?
Generally things
what they named cricket like after.
Yeah. Okay.
Or cricket college. Or things like football.
But yeah. Yeah.
It's Isn't rugby named after like rugby college? Did I make that up?
Maybe. Oh, God. Something like that, isn't it?
It is.
It was William Gray Ellis. William Webb Ellis, I should know, because it's the World Cup this year.
Who picked up the soccer ball and ran with it.
And they went, we're going to name a World Cup after you. Which I think we'll be doing some coverage on, surely.
Oh, 100%.
Cannot wait.
I'm excited for the 2019 schedule.
I'm not
thinking up some rugby-based dick jokes.
We've got a long time to go for that. At the moment, Australia is in the Asian Cup in the football.
Is this a quick little...
Just a quick little Wide World of Woods while we're at it.
Stat Chat Shootout Corner Wide World. The Wide Stat Quiz Shootout Woods.
Featuring Luke.
Yes, the Asian Cup.
Asian Cup.
Very disappointing. I don't expect us to do anything.
No, me either, for that matter.
Tommy Rogic broke his hand.
Oh,
like
really?
Liverpool are on top of the EPL. A lot of Australians are mad Liverpool fans.
Liverpoolian.
And literally every other... All the supporters of all the other teams are banding together to...
Yeah, get in behind them. Devils.
To dethrone them because Liverpool haven't won in... 1,000 years.
Oh, really? Yeah, so everyone's like, well, fuck you.
Yes. Their hatred for Liverpool has brought everyone together kind of thing.
Well, I mean, it's a coming together story. You know, you got to have a villain, don't you? How far ahead are they, I wonder?
4 points at this stage, 6 points. It's not that far.
That's not that far.
They dropped some points recently, but they did. They lost to Man City, who was second, in a very, very controversial game. And that brought Manchester City back up. So,
yeah, right.
And that is my soccer/football knowledge for the year.
I saw Harry Kane hit one against Chelsea.
And then did he score a goal?
Yeah. Yes. He didn't hit someone named Chelsea. I don't think he did anyway. I don't know. I don't know what Harry Kane does on his weekends. Please don't write.
Luke Bob with the scoop.
No scoop.
As per sources.
No sources
are
known.
That's what you got to say. You got to say as per source.
Yeah, Michael, you're my source.
And now you're the editor of New Idea.
I've waited my whole life for somebody to say that.
All right, we're going to wrap it up because we're just talking shit now.
Shit sauce.
We're going to be back.
Shit sauce shootout.
Stop it. Stop it.
Shit sauce would be a much more apt name. The quizzes.
The shit sauce shootout.
The shit sauce.
Is that one actually has traction?
I don't mind that.
Three shit alliteration.
Shit. It's just so hard to say.
Shit sauce shootout. And that sauce Connery like S-O-U.
Yeah.
The shit sauce shootout.
I read this on a website, I think. It may have been a dream, but...
So the shit sauce shootout. The shit sauce shootout. All right, well, we're going to be going. Thanks, we're going everybody. To be back for the Sri Lankan test. We might do some spot stuff around the ODIs, but definitely we'll have a bit of fun with it. Thank you so much, Timmy, for coming in all the way up from the Gold Coast. Yep. It's a big drive to have on your Thursday morning, so we do appreciate it.
That's right. No drama. It's good to be back in the booth, like I said.
Yeah, all right. And, Michael, any last remarks for yourself?
No, I love it. I hope that everyone can focus on the positivity. And I know it's a tough time for Australian sport at the moment. But tough times are what Australians are made of.
You're not wrong, Vilkins.
You're not wrong.
It's actually an awful time for Australian sport.
Yeah, we're not doing real good.
If it wasn't for the women's sport, there'd be a Royal Commission. That's how terrible we're going at the moment.
It's 100% true. All right, we're going to get out of here, guys. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll talk soon. Bye.
And then make like a...